نبی الکریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم had a blessed habit, which one of his blessed habits was, which has been mentioned by the muhaddithin, the commentators, the scholars, and this blessed habit was that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform and do istighfar, repentance in high abundance, high quantity. For example, in one sitting he would do 100 or more times istighfar. And the pious elders have stated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Imam ul Anbiya, the head of the prophets. And the prophets are already innocent and pure and free from sin. So what was this istighfar, repentance or seeking forgiveness that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing? So the pious elders, the pious predecessors have stated that in reality, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's every action was for the ummah, was for the education of the ummah, for teaching the ummah, for our learning. So this was the ta'aleem of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his ummah, that with his blessed habit, his blessed sharifa habit, that istighfar that was performed every time to pay attention to Allah, to repent to Allah, to turn to Allah is very essential for a human being. Very essential indeed, very essential indeed. That this is how much Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it himself, istighfar. And to this extent, shaitan, he creates negligence within us. He steers us away from istighfar. Now, we are desperately in need for istighfar for two base reasons. One is this, that look, for example, we're sat here with ease, nice, comfortable, luxury, alhamdulillah, noor ala noor, and the heart is full of noor and light and has been vitalized. We're in the company of the angels and the rahmah, the mercy of Allah, beautiful feeling. Allah Ta'ala has given us this whilst we're here. This is the case, isn't it? As a result of sitting here in this majlis, this is the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah. But will we stay like this all the time? Will I stay like this all the time? No. Just, it needs us to leave this masjid for a little while. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has made a quality within the human being. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ Allah says that I will test you. I will challenge you. And this is the test. Sometimes a person is given the beautiful environment and sometimes he's thrown towards the fire of Jahannam. Difficulty, and sometimes a person thrown into the cauldron of shaitan. Sometimes you could be stood in a masjid given adhan, calling to the prayer or reciting iqama, the beginning of salah, or praying salah, and suddenly next minute, next hour, you could be in the shopping center. There are two opposite things. That's the house of shaitan, the shopping center, and this is the house of rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masjid. So if our life has different turns and ups and downs and changes and modifications, that moment by moment, second by second, hour by hour, the conditions change. For example, you stood with a friend, he's nice, he's talking about deen and Madinatul Munawwara, about ziyaras. I stood in front of the jali, the holy fence, and I was reciting durood. And what was the beautiful environment there? What was the morning? What was the evening? And the person's enjoying and listening, mashallah. And after a little while, the direction changes, another friend comes. Oh, I was enjoying myself yesterday. Oh, what a function, what a beautiful, and hundreds of people had come, mashallah. It was just a brilliant. So the sight changes because one has gone and another comes. The same person, the same individual, and he's got the filters within him of filtering good and bad. Am I right or am I wrong, my friends? We have a filter inside us, don't we? And within a minute, the filter starts to change, takes us to opposite directions and feelings and emotions, and the person's gone. So now, what we realize is that always a person can earn good, and after earning good, he goes towards earning bad, and sometimes he's going towards good, and then he leaves the good and goes towards bad. So an ajeeb system, a unique system that Allah Ta'ala has given the choice to the human being. And the second point, why do we need to do istighfar? So one is that we are in need, desperate, because our situation changes from good to bad, bad to good. And the second reason why we are desperately needed for istighfar is Allah Ta'ala has also kept maut as something that we don't know about when it's going to happen. There's no set date that we know, that we're aware of. For example, maybe you were with me last Sunday or the Sunday before that. Today is Monday, isn't it? So maybe last Sunday, the previous Sunday, that in the majlis there will be some people today who were in that majlis, in that gathering of the previous Sunday or the Sunday before that. And it was a nice masjid, there was a good gathering, from locals were there, some travellers were there. And there was a brother sitting in front of me on the chair. And he is, mashallah, one of the, you can say, old timers, one of our colleagues of dhikr. And I remember one of my statements in that majlis, these statements, they come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I don't know why I've come here, we sat here and you are here, and we all gathered here, and there's a lot of people here, and I've not seen many people before, and many people haven't seen me, many will disappear, some are permanent, who weren't there, and some who had never come before, they were present there. And I said, this is Allah ta'ala's glory, that how people have come today, attended, and they sat down. I've not seen people from such a long time, they've come, I don't know some people, and I know some people, and those who are always with me in dhikr, they are disappeared today, they're not here. So who selects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So then I said a statement that Allah ta'ala allowed me to speak from my mouth. And I was sat and he was sat and I was looking towards that person who was on the chair. I said, I don't know why Allah ta'ala has gathered everyone here today and us all together today. Allah knows best, because Allah ta'ala's selection and arrangement is based on His hikmah. We are here doing dhikr, it's Allah's hikmah. I've come, you have come, you haven't come, I haven't come, he has come, he's come. It's not in anybody's control. Men who do come regularly, they are not here today, but they haven't come today. And those who don't come, they've come and sat at the front, or they've come and sat in the middle, or they've come at the end of the gathering. So who knows about the hikmah of Allah? Why Allah Ta'ala calls and invites? So the words I stated that day were what? That Allah Ta'ala, I don't know for which reason, for which person, for whose sake Allah Ta'ala has arranged this gathering today, and who does Allah Ta'ala want to forgive? And what I felt that day was that the majlis that day, there was a feeling and aroma of bakhshish, forgiveness. Maybe there were words, we spoke for about an hour and a half about forgiveness, and the thing that overwhelmed that gathering was forgiveness, bakhshish, Allah Ta'ala's accepting our tawbah. It looked like Allah Ta'ala opened the ocean of forgiveness that day. It felt like that Allah Ta'ala's rahmah had come into high strength, high strength. So this was a deep, beautiful feeling that I'd felt that day. And I'm sharing that with everyone, has different feelings and emotions every majlis. So that my feeling at that time was that nobody will leave here today empty-handed. That was the feeling that day. And mashallah, that I was coming towards the conclusion, and I kept on saying the statement that I don't know for whose sake Allah Ta'ala has arranged this gathering today, the majlis, and many people, they were there in the gathering, many people are good, many people don't think they're good, but Allah Ta'ala's rahmah doesn't look at who's pious, who's a sinner. Allah's rahmah doesn't differentiate how many sins does he have, how many good deeds does he have. Allah Ta'ala doesn't differentiate that. And I knew that individual from a long time, and I'd seen him before. And then, but this is the case. Today there's a guarantee that the person who's come to this majlis is forgiven. That's the one guarantee we can confirm. And if Allah Ta'ala knows that who, for whose sake Allah Ta'ala has made the gathering, and the person who the gathering is for, he will pass away maybe after. And remember my statement that there's somebody who's about to pass away, and he's come here, and we're all successful due to him. And I think the program finished, a week had passed maybe, and a week was about to pass the next Sunday. And 9:30 he sat down, he was fine, healthy. And he sat on the chair and he was leaning on the chair, healthy, fine, as far as I've been told and I'm aware. And then he went, he departed, passed away. And then you can go to the doctor and pumps and breathing, but the person who's gone is gone. But he's gone forgiven, mashallah, mashallah. So as I was saying, the point that came into my mind about istighfar, forgiveness, Allah's mahbubs, every action is very valuable, and every action of the dhikr of Allah, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do these time and time again. There's light and there's a nur. So why is istighfar essential? Number one, that I've told you that what is our situation. There's no guarantee that if I've prayed salah, will I be forgiven? What will happen when I leave the masjid? Allah knows, the situation can change. So we are essential. It's essential for us that always we should be in the state of istighfar, or seeking an opportunity for forgiveness. We should stay in an action, or look for an opportunity, or in an environment, or a circumstance, or we should be following a path or practice, or we should keep on repeating a certain action due to all of this, which Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, in the hadith, openly Allah Ta'ala has announced that at that time, when a person stays steadfast on that action, then my rahmah pays attention to that person. So to have rahmah, mercy, this will give a person bakshish, because rahmah, mercy will come on forgiveness, isn't it? A person's been forgiven and he's passing away, Allah's rahmah will be there at that time. So, the most important amal for a person is the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, that earns the forgiveness of Allah. What is it? The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. So every moment a person should be seeking that there's a majlis here, and this could be the final majlis. And today maybe that we will get bakshish and forgiveness, because here I've come, done dhikr, and we depart, we leave. This is the case, isn't it? We could have done that. And I didn't have it in my mind to speak or to discuss, so I wasn't going to talk to you. I didn't have intention, but as the majlis concluded, then I started speaking with the nisbat of that brother. Because this is an important point, that if he had not come to that majlis, if you think yourself, if, for example, you could have had a stomachache or something Allah Ta'ala could have created, but the words that came out of my mouth at that time were that the majlis was formed and gathered due to that individual that day, those couple of weeks back. Why? Because sometimes Allah Ta'ala likes to do something or prepare something. Doesn't matter how sinful a person is. Doesn't matter, as far as I am aware, Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy, for example, one great mercy of Allah is that when a person has daughters in his home, when daughters are born, that is a mercy of Allah. But when we have daughters born in our family, we put our face down, there's no sweet, there's no mitai. But where there's a son, tuk, 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 oh, I've got a son and please take the sweets. But what's the fault of the daughter? Please give some jalebis for the daughter, if you're not going to give the laddus or the good sweets. Imagine Allah's Nabi said, if you have three daughters or two daughters, then you will be with me in Jannah like this. And the fingers were together. This is a hadith, sahih. Authentic. And I think he had four or five daughters, and he had no sons, an individual. And he brought the children up, the daughters up, and he persevered, and they were married. They had difficulties. They have difficulties. Where a daughter gets married, goes home, and then she comes back. Maybe there's divorce, the difficulty. But if a person sees through all of those phases and goes through all the hardships and the ups and downs, and then he'll get that reward. But if you get scared, oh, I've got a daughter and a second daughter and a third daughter and a fourth daughter, and I haven't got a son, and he starts counting. Rather, some people, Allah Ta'ala forgives those people who bring up daughters in a nice way. They're happy that the rahmah of Allah has come in the house. They look at the barakah my daughter will bring to my home. And the things that the daughters do, the actions the daughters do, and the love the daughters give to the parents, the sons who doss around outside, they don't treat the parents in the same way, do they? They don't remember their mother or their father. The daughters give more affection and love. The daughters serve the parents. The daughters love their parents so much. The daughters love their parents so much. Especially the father. This is ajeeb kamal, mashallah. Ajeeb point. Maybe this is the sunnah of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the daughter, she has a lot of love for the father. Extreme love for the father. And the father also loves the daughter. But those who have hard hearts, they don't love the daughters. They run after the sons. And they are running after the daughter, the sons. Oh my son. And treating them nice and better than the daughters. And they don't even treat the daughters nicely. They take their inheritance. The brothers eat the inheritance of the daughters. And they trick their sisters. And in our martial, in our society, the men folk, they take the rights of the daughters. Oh, what's the point of giving the daughters? Give it to the men. They have children. They are in need. And they trick and they ask Mulana's masala. And there's so many masail. And this is such a big sin to take the haq, the rights of the daughter, that you cannot imagine. You cannot imagine. So brothers, this is the dunya, the system, ajeeb. So istighfar, where do we get this from? Direct at that time, alhamdulillah, a person when he does the istighfar, he earns the luggage of forgiveness. Allah has made the system, yusabbihu bukratan wa asila. Allah says, do dhikr in the morning, and the sins until the evening are forgiven. You do dhikr in the evening, then the sins till the morning are forgiven. Subhanallah. So should we leave such a majlis, a gathering? Do we get these anywhere else? Tell me. So today, in the qabr, what will be the condition of the brother? He had not gone, attended that gathering of ours. That imagine the hoors who have welcomed him, all the words that we discussed, he's going to get all these words. The words that I'm discussing now, he will get these words, alhamdulillah. So he must be grateful that Allah, you made that majlis that day, and you allowed me to earn your rahmah mercy. Otherwise, where was I? Where was my salah? Where was my sujood, my prostration? Everyone's weak. We all weak, the poor soul, but due to him, Allah Ta'ala made that gathering, the majlis, and such tawbah is accepted that without asking, Allah Ta'ala accepts and gives without a person asking. But it's sad that all around us, we have Muslims around us, society, but nobody has desired to sit in dhikr. This is not my dhikr gathering. Whose dhikr is this? Allah's dhikr. It's not my dhikr. Hasbunallah is who? Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, who do we recite this for? Allah, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka, who do we recite this for? We recited this, didn't we? It's for Allah. Durood Sharif is the Habib of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there was nothing else apart from this in this gathering, dhikr of Allah and durood. And the person will regret tomorrow, if only I was sat in that dhikr gathering, my sins. Every kalima that we recite, every verse, Allah Ta'ala says that the person who recites the verses in the gathering of dhikr, then his sins are leaving his body like the dry leaves falling off an autumn tree. Subhanallah. But we don't attend. We don't want to come. We have no interest in attending a majlis dhikr. Imagine people be sitting now somewhere or other in gatherings, talking, gossiping, fighting, quarreling, arguing. Allah knows best what's happening. Loss. But Allah Ta'ala has kept everything here in this gathering at this moment in time. Allah's total rahmah. Allah's rahmah that is paying attention to this whole town at this moment in time. Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy is totally on this gathering at this moment in time. All of the angels and the malaika will be paying attention and will be physically present here. And du'as and all of the du'as and prayers for forgiveness that the angels that will have filled the space between the earth and the heavens at this moment in time will be doing du'as for this gathering, for this majlis. And those people who are sat here, they'll be doing du'a for the people who sat here, for their family, for their children, for their offspring, for their rizq, for their wealth, for their iman, for everything. The focal point in this moment in time is this gathering. The Quran and Hadith says this, but our nafs has said the Quran is not true, Hadith is not true, and we don't want to follow this, and we say that the lives of the walis of Allah are not needed either. We don't need this, we say. We don't need this. We reject this openly. Tell me. So let's do du'a for the ummah. There's such a big generation of fitna we are living in. Such a big generation of fitna that we're living in today. That a person, every day we hear news, different news, new items of news come that your hair stand on it. I swear by Allah that this is happening. And I don't speak about every day, let's speak about every hour. This is happening in that country. This action started in that country. Suddenly a person says, it's happened here now. This is happening there. And yes, it's happened. And it's happening. Today, fahish, immodesty is happening there. It started there now. Such actions have started in such countries. Allahu Akbar, beyond imagination. When in such a generation we're living in such societies, such moments arise. In the life to come, we need forgiveness. We desperately need. We need tawbah, repentance. For always, forever, there's punishment, jahannam. Upon little things in our lives, we think they're minor, but they're big things, in fact, and they'll give us punishment. I remember a hadith. A certain Sahabi, Hazrat Mas'ud Ansari, radiallahu anhu, this is an event in Madinatul Munawwara, and he was hitting his servant. His servant, under his, you can say, orders, he was like a servant. You can take any society, whoever's under your, you can say, instruction, under your leadership. For example, anybody who's under your leadership is, for example, like your servant. For example, your wife, she's under your leadership. Or the mother-in-law, under her leadership is a daughter-in-law. Isn't it? This is what happens nowadays. So whoever's in ruling position, then the person who that is getting the instructions is under the leadership of that person. If somebody is working for you, an employee, then you are the leadership for that employee. So this person was the ghulam, the servant. And this sahabi was hitting the ghulam, the servant. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave us example of this sketch of this scene that for the rest of mankind this would continue as guidance. And remember, the best of generations was the generation in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was physically alive. That was the best of all times. The best of all men lived at that time. So we're speaking about that time. This is not a new story. That every event that would occur in that generation, it was a historical fact that was laid, and it was a teaching for the ummah. It was deen. It was commentary of the Quran, whatever occurred in that time. Every event, every incident, every moment, every hour, every second of the time of Rasulullah when he was alive, every event and incident that occurred, it was a lesson for the people to come after that. It wasn't a minor example. It was a major example. So he was beating or hitting his ghulam. He's like people do today in our society, in our lands, beating and oppression with women and mistreating women and misconduct against women. So much excess occurred against one sister, against one woman. So much oppression that according to her statement, the sister's statement, that I didn't know what should I do, where should I go, should I bang my head on the wall, on rocks. People, they mistreated me, they beat me, they banged my head on rocks. I won't go into too much detail with regards to this, but I'll tell you that what is the hal of the oppressed, and we learn this from this hadith. For the sake of Allah, do not oppress anybody. Don't think anything as a minor, insignificant, not important, to break someone's heart, to do dhulam on somebody, to oppress somebody, to mistreat somebody. If it was to happen to you, beware. You'll have to answer tomorrow for this. You'll have to answer. This is a test for me, that there's a person who's underneath my instructions. A woman has come into my life, or a child has come, or another human being is under my instruction. Or if I go to a house, there's an ill person under my care. For example, there's a woman in a house, and for example, she gets somebody who's ill under her care, and then she starts hating that person and doesn't treat that person nicely. These are the conditions that occur in the life, which are with the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I tell you, all the situations that come across us in our life, they either create Jannah or they create Jahannam for us. Every incident, we have kept a status for Jannah. Oh, go to Al-Falah Masjid, or Masjid Zakariya, or Masjid Makki, Randall Masjid. We just think that going to masjids and doing ibadah, that's where decisions are made for Jannah and Jahannam. If I do sajda here, prostration, I'll get Jannah. If I don't, then I'll get Jahannam. Where is this written in Islam? The whole life of a human being is a test, for due to which a result will come of Jannah and Jahannam. We should be careful when we take our footsteps in life. So a person, he's beating his servant, hitting and beating. He thinks he can do what he wants. And the wife, we think we can do what we want. And the mother-in-law thinks she can do what she wants with her daughter-in-law. But this is not the right of the mother-in-law. No mother-in-law has this right. We don't look at Islam. Does it allow for me to mistreat somebody? No. No, no, you cannot go to your mother, we say to the wife. Or the mother-in-law says, no, she says, my mother is close by. No, you can't go. 6 years I haven't seen or spoken to my mother. This is the extreme oppression. Imagine this, that is meted out to the wives nowadays. Or daughter-in-laws, mother's coming, the husband's mother and sisters are coming, but I don't have the, I'm not allowed to speak to my mother. She complained. Imagine my hal, this sister said. She cried so much, she cried so much. She cried to such an extent that subhanAllah's rahmah came. Allah's mercy came in the night when she lied down. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah is great. Then Jani Rahmah Rasulullah came to her dream. Subhanallah. This was ziyarah. And what was her amal? What was her action? We consider that Qiyamah, there's a veil. Allah Ta'ala is not listening. There's no system. Allah Ta'ala is not watching. Allah Ta'ala says, I send the angels to the gathering of dhikr. We say, no, no, there's nothing. There's just a roof above us and there's nothing above there. And we're just sitting and we get criticized. Oh, look at them sitting and doing dhikr, wasting time. Let's go home and just forget that. They look at us with a glare in the eye and with doubt. We don't care. We don't want dhikr. We have no care for dhikr. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came. And imagine what happened after. Inshallah, what can I tell you about this dream that occurred after? This is somebody's secret, I won't tell you. But tell me now, that does Allah Ta'ala not listen to the call of the oppressed? Does Allah Ta'ala not look at the zalim, the oppressor? So if Allah Ta'ala sent the messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as rahmah, then imagine if she got that much reward for her heartbreak, then imagine the punishment for that person who did the oppression. Today I'm here, if I get married, I get married and I bring my wife to my house, and if tomorrow she gets ill, if she's ill, or she gets such a terminal illness, or she becomes disabled, that's it. Consider, this is Allah Ta'ala's will. The all of Jannah and Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala has put for you as a condition of serving your wife. She's everything for you. She's everything for you. You have to then sacrifice your life for her in terms of give up everything. You have to persevere. You can persevere through her swearing or her anger or her all her bad moods and everything. Rather, it will be better than hundreds of thousands of tahajjud you pray. That is better that you make her smile and make her happy. But does anybody do this ibadah? No. Oh, no, no, I can keep fast. Oh, I can pray tahajjud. This is a habit. But does anybody treat the wife and going on umrah? This is a habit. And drink Zamzam water. Nowadays the bottle of Zamzam, they're all fraud as well. Allahu Akbar. That I saw a clip that a man's amazed when he sees these things, that there's a fraud with Zamzam. That, you know, these bottles that come, these are artificial water. It's not from Jeddah that we buy from here. And I left drinking that water. I said, oh, forget that. If Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq, I'll go and drink from there. This is the water of Jeddah that we're drinking. And I saw this, you saw it from my eyes, everything. And they're just putting the water in, and they're filling the caps, and they're giving to the hajis, £50, £50, and they're buying the water. So today in this generation, we cannot trust anything or anybody, can we? It's too difficult. That where's this fraud occurred? Zamzam water is a fraud. Zamzam water is a fraud nowadays. Tell me. This is the generation when people are drinking. This is Abi Zamzam, the well of Zamzam. Yes, where's the Zamzam? The well is there, but there's no Zamzam. The river's there, but no Zamzam. So brothers, this is the generation that we're living in. That dhulam, oppression implemented. And Allah Ta'ala says, subhanAllah, that for example, the wife, she took so much oppression and she was beat. Allah Ta'ala said, I am looking after your woman, that I will send my Habib to you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if this is happening in the dunya, then imagine when you come in the akhirah, have sabr, patience, and see the rewards that you will get in the hereafter. So, in such moments, my friends, the dhikr, adhkar, these teach us these points. This is our Islam that teaches us this. That it teaches us the intensity of love and muhabbah. It doesn't teach enmity and hatred and fights. It purifies the minds and the hearts of people. Islam. And this is how Islam develops beautiful, pure, good habits of humanity and good relations between each other. So this person was beating his ghulam servant, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was passing by, because this was the initiation of Islam, and Rasulullah stopped and asked a question. This is a question for everybody. That whoever oppresses anyone who's underneath him, this is the answer to that person. Whoever oppresses anyone else, and this is an example. So Rasulullah said one word. The Abu Mas'ud, that the amount of rights that are upon you due to the servant, more than that is the right of Allah Ta'ala upon you. And will you never be presented to Allah Ta'ala's court? What will you desire from Allah? What will you desire from Allah? Obviously, you'll want Allah's rahmah, mercy. I'm just giving you the tashrih of the hadith. The hadith, for example, and Rasulullah said that the amount of right that you think you have based on this servant of yours, then Allah Ta'ala's right is great in this. Rasulullah said this. Imagine his sternness and seriousness at that time. This is the theme of Islam, the ruh, the spirit of Islam, that Allah Ta'ala's Islam dislikes the most. Islam dislikes the most the act of oppression. But the biggest taint on the name of Islam today is that Islam is a dhulm, oppression. It kills people or throws bombs on people, oppresses people or destroys people or kills people. The Muslims are oppressors and terrorists and fundamentalists. Isn't this the case today? And the biggest action of Islam was what? The biggest teaching of Islam was to eliminate oppression. These are two opposite things. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may our parents and our lives and our everything be assigned to him. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the theme of Islam, the ruh of Islam, my brothers. This is the ruh of Islam. Insaniyat, humanity is the ruh of Islam. We don't look what is the religion, what's this person's creed. First and foremost, we look at this person, a human being. When you see a human being, then the humanity skills come out. The humanity skills come out. Such a big lesson Islam is given. So what is the Islam that we are presenting today? Most definitely, a person, he cannot say he's a Muslim when he's doing wrong deeds and says that he's a Muslim. No. He cannot be. It's impossible. A person who oppresses, breaks hearts, who gives the dars. Islam is the dars of humanity and love. But we give dars of oppression and destroying. A person who gives dars of killing people or destroying people or giving pain to people or destroying the place of worship, this person can never be propagating Islam. Impossible. So Rasulullah's sternness at that time, that Rasulullah was presenting the ruh, the spirit of Islam. So when Nabi Sallam said this point, these were the words of the hadith, that man started to shake. Abu Mas'ud started to shake. And because remember, Rasulullah was rahmatul alameen. He was extremely soft and gentle. At the same time, when he was stern and serious, nobody could absorb his sternness and his seriousness. There so much was the effect of his sternness and his seriousness that this would travel for miles and miles, the effect of the seriousness of Rasulullah. When he became serious, nobody could stand in front of him and absorb his seriousness. The Sahaba Ikram, they couldn't see the face of Nabi, they couldn't put their eyes in his eyes. So when this statement came from Rasulullah, from his blessed statement, then that Abu Mas'ud started to shake, and he was such a bad slave. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I free this slave. I free this slave of mine right now." And Nabi Sallallahu listened to his answer. Rasulullah says, "Good, you free this slave. If you had not freed this slave right now, then hellfire would have reached you." Allahu Akbar. So what we realize is the person who is the zalim, who oppresses, who does acts of oppression in our society, we consider them as minor, as non-existent. A person who's your employee, for example, has given me a factory or a shop or a warehouse, or I'm a retailer, I have two or three employees who are working with me, then don't we look towards the heart of the employee? Is it tea time? Give some tea time, give a break time to that person. Give him time for praying salah. But we don't feel like even giving that bit of free time to our employees, a bit of a break, that go and pray salah, or go and drink some tea, or go and have lunch. No. No, if he stands up and says, "Sit here, work here, and bring your food in, eat here, and stay here." So what we need to see is that we think this is a minor. It's not a big point of akhlaq. It's my shop, is it my employee? I had a shop, I had employees, I know. It looks insignificant. But how could I feel that I'm drinking tea and eating biscuits and he's standing here, the employee, working? Wallah billah. First and foremost, I said, you in front of me, bring your lunch and eat it, and then I will eat after you. Subhanallah. And this is what I used to say. He said, no. I said, "No, please, do not make excuses." I said, "When you bring your lunch, then I'll eat with you, etc." So it's good. I'd like it if you eat, and I'd want to see what food have you got. And he used to bring his food then. And I didn't want to eat at that time. I wasn't going to eat. Why? Because I knew that my Shaykh, he had done my tarbiyah, subhanAllah. My Shaykh had taught me tasawwuf. He had rectified me and he taught me purification. And tasawwuf brings the real Islam into the heart of a Muslim. Tasawwuf, the Sufi who practices tasawwuf is purifying his heart because Islam is getting stronger in his life. And this is the Islam of the Sufi when he propagates greatness and gentleness and humanity and compassion. Otherwise we'll be animals, just like the people were before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came. And that brother who will be listening, who used to work with me, and I said, no, you bring your lunch first, then I'll see what you're going to eat, then I'll eat with you. But I wouldn't eat. I didn't normally eat, and he'd bring his lunch, his food, and then I said, okay, now I'll open my lunch as well. So this is an example of equality and good treatment. Look towards the hearts of other people, what they want. So this is a hadith, and we can say, oh, he's my servant, I can do what I want, or I have a servant who's washing the dishes, etc. And if something breaks, then the master swears against a mother and a sister and a family. And let's take the daughter-in-law, the mother-in-law. Well, for example, if the mother-in-law, she puts so many piles of dishes in front of the daughter-in-law, and while she's washing, one or two plates broke, then they start beating the daughter-in-law. You used to do this in your house. Your mother was like this. And they curse their parents. Astaghfirullah. This is our society today. So where have their salah gone? Oh, where are you going? I'm going on Umrah. Oh, we're going to spend Ramadan in Haramain. So I'm going to do Laylatul Qadr in Madinatul Munawwara. Oh, forget these dramas. Look at your faces in the mirror. Be grateful Allah Sattar is hidden your deficiencies. Otherwise, he'd show them on the blotches on the face. The hadith tells us is that Jahannam has reached to your feet. It would have come to you. So this is the point. We've come off the line what we were discussing, but this has been beneficial for us. Alhamdulillah, may Allah Ta'ala make our hearts soft, that what we desire for ourselves, we should also desire for other people. Don't oppress anybody. Don't swear somebody's mother. For example, if I don't want somebody to oppress my daughter, then why do I oppress somebody else's daughter or females? Do you want that your daughter does bad action? No, my daughter should be pious, but I don't want this person to do this. My wife to do this. This is ajeeb, that she can do these actions, but you can't do this. We say to the wife, that what kind of issue is this? This is common. So the punishment, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the hellfire reaches to that person who oppresses. And Allah Ta'ala won't look at the ibadat, Allah will look at the actions of Islam. So what I'm trying to say is that we always are committing sins. We are prone to sin. This is our situation. And so dhikr kathiran kathira, immense dhikr, lots of dhikr we are desperately need. And then Allah Ta'ala gives us majlis like these in which a person gets forgiven openly. We enter into the gathering dirty, impure, we sit down, Allah forgives us again. Allah forgives us again. But if we have a good mind and understanding, Allah says, that Allah Ta'ala said, brother, I didn't want to speak today. I wasn't in a mood for speaking. I had a headache. I thought I'd go home, take some medicine, I'll lie down. I was tired. And today I was feeling very down. I was very down physically. But then I came into, my passion was aroused, I sat in the majlis, at the end I thought, oh, just something came to my mind, maybe this is beneficial for this gathering, let me speak and discuss it, there'll be some benefit, because illness comes and goes, but let's fulfill my duty for my friends. So my brothers, this is the summary of life, that's it. That for example, if I've committed many sins, at least let's wash away the sins. Don't let that black dot stay in our heart. At least let's clean ourselves. At least people should understand this is the gathering of dhikr. This is not a personal gathering. This is not a walima invitation. This is not the wedding invitation. This is the invitation to forgiveness. Bakhshish. Oh, mad people. Maud drags a person, grabs a person. He doesn't even realize. Every day janazas are prayed. If you go to a masjid zakariya, every day a janazah is performed. Every day, continuously, I'm seeing from some days when I see the blackboard and you see on there written the name of the person who deceased. This person died here, this person died here, this person, this person, this person's name, this person's name. Yusuf Bhai's passed away, etc. Everyone knows him. Everyone knows each other. People are shaking your hands and they sat in front of you. They're wondering around with you about them. Oh, he's gone today. He went yesterday. He went the day before. Many people are passing away. So, for example, the words that we're discussing today, they don't cease at the time of death. And that brother was sitting on the chair, he fell on that same chair. SubhanAllah, the way he was sitting there that day when he heard, and he was in the majlis, that a week before or sometime before, Allah Ta'ala took him from the world, because there's a time, Saturday, Allah Ta'ala said, here's the majlis that was done for you, and this is the gathering of dhikr for you. Go, now you've passed away, but go and enjoy yourself in the hereafter. So my brothers, I plead, I put my hands together and plead to you, that mashallah, you are pious, much better than me, and due to you, I get encouragement and I come. So come come to the dhikr of Allah. Don't discard it. Don't neglect it. Wherever the dhikr is being performed that day in the masjid, we should all remind ourselves to attend and tell others, give dawah invitation to others to come, to bring, invite and bring one person to the gathering of dhikr. SubhanAllah. His forgiveness will happen after. First will be the forgiveness for that person who introduced that person to dhikr. His whole family will be forgiven first. Then that person will be forgiven. Allah Ta'ala says, dhikr is for every one of us. What benefit do you get for bringing someone to dhikr? For example, if it's your sheikh who's a peer who takes money from people, and there'll be stashes of banknotes and murids will become rich, and I don't even remember the name of people who are like this, that he did this and did this action. And for example, people give me asha to me, oh, it's that person. I say to friends regularly that this is the sheet, this person give the sheet. I say, what's his name? I said, I'm ashamed of saying that I don't recognize the person's face. Just asha to me, hint to me that this is that person, then I'll realize who it is. This is my hal, that I don't even know people's names. I forget, I don't recognize who is who. Yes, as years pass by, I said, just give me a hint. In the morning, I'll recognize whose sheet has come, and then I'll realize whose name it is. And he sits there in the majlis on the left. I said, just give me a hint. Point to that person that this is the haji sir. MashaAllah. So brothers, this is a beautiful celebration that we're sat around here for. We don't need to recognize each other's faces in this gathering and worry, has he seen me? Have I got the recognition? We'll meet each other hereafter in Jannah, inshallah. That's where we'll embrace. Come, let's embrace. And that's where we have to embrace. Come on, Sayyid Sahib, mashallah. How are you, Sayyid Sahib? And he's embracing me. And Hazrat Sahib, mashallah. And this friendship, solid friendship. This is what we get, isn't it? From sitting in dhikr of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala, may he increase our love. And may Allah Ta'ala make us qabil and capable that we see each other in Jannah. We may forget each other in this world, but that's where we get the real reward. 7 or 8 homes. And after having 7 or 8 homes or many homes over that, there'll be no ibadah, no worship. But there will be a definitely gatherings of dhikr. SubhanAllah, Allahu Akbar. Remember this point. Remember this point. Dhikr gathering will be there in thereafter in paradise. So he's gone, isn't our poor soul, the brother. He was a consistent, he used to pray Salah. The Tablighi brothers are very regular in Salam. When he's going to Jannah, paradise, he'll look at the watch. Now, when is Adhan going to be called? The Jannati, be sat in his palace. You say, I can't hear the Adhan, the call to prayer. Isn't there any preparation for Salah? Where do I do wudu? And he'll be a bit anxious and asking all the angels, when is Adhan going to be called? What's the time for Salah? I can't see what time's the Salah in the day, because he's a solid performer of Salah in this world. And the angels say, speak about eating and drinking, there's no Salah here. Just enjoy upon enjoy, enjoy yourself. SubhanAllah. Bas. The dhakir, who's the dhakir here, alhamdulillah, he does dhikr in this world, hasbunallah, subhanallah, walhamdulillah. And this same dhakir in the hereafter, he will eat the fruits of the dhikr he did in this world. Allahu Akbar. And there will be just one thing there in the hereafter, dhikr of Allah. That's the action. And when people address each other, do you know how they address each other? SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah. These will be the words that will attract each other, people to each other. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah. Not dhikr though, because the dhikr of Allah is linked to Allah. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. It's not just until here, it's until Qiyamah, until Qiyamah and beyond. So to come to such a majlis, why do we leave it? Why do we neglect it, brothers? We should come, shouldn't we? We should be regular, steadfast. So make this a solid promise that we'll invite people to dhikr and we will come ourselves to dhikr and make up one very good niyyah. We need to do the work of the deen. That brothers, if we don't go on tabligh, we're lazy. If I can't give dawah to somebody, I'm weak and lazy. Many people make excuses. I can't go out for this many days. I can't sit in taaleem. People make excuses. Why don't you sit down? Look, the work of the deen we need to do. We definitely have to do this. We have to spread the deen. So a person should make an intention that, okay, if I don't do work of the deen, at least while I'm wandering around in the world, I'll invite people to the gathering of dhikr. This is also a big dawah of deen. Alhamdulillah. And your name will be written that he is a da'i. He used to call people to dhikr. He's a dhakir. So at least we should do this, shouldn't we? SubhanAllah. So if we don't, then it's our choice. Allah Ta'ala said that I said to my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I have told you to give the instructions to people, to teach people and tell them about Islam, about the verses of the Quran. If they accept, fine, that's good. Good luck to him. Be better for him. If he doesn't accept, then he is deviated. And he will say deviated. Allah Ta'ala says that you will have no loss, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why are you distressed and unhappy? That's it. So what a beautiful point here. Allah Ta'ala has given encouragement here that those people who are following this path, you shouldn't think I have come, oh, I invited, he hasn't come. Allah Ta'ala says, no, if he wants to say is neglectful, leave him. But it's written in your book of deeds that you gave da'wah and you invited a person to deen. So the biggest benefit is straight away that when you give da'wah, Allah Ta'ala will make you a person who's coming himself. SubhanAllah. That you will first and foremost reach there. SubhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.